the communities around in our annual budgeting process. So I am not going to pretend that the city's the complexity of the city's budget can be represented in these easy concepts like income statement and balance sheet. But we haven't even really introduced those concepts or presented the information in that way to community members. And these are familiar concepts for anyone in business or nonprofits or organizational life. One is a statement of performance, and the other one is a statement of position. They cover they're different concepts. They cover different time frames. The community actually needs these tools in the presentation for them to engage in these conversations about trade-offs, and we have not actually been delivering it to them. So we do actually do a very good job with this at some bureaus, and so let's not pretend that we actually don't have success already in the mix, but we don't do this in an aggregate way for the global budget process. And so the way we actually engage our community members is a way that we've trained them to participate in certain ways, so we actually need to provide different mechanisms. So the next slide is about this year's modest improvements. Modest is an operative word here. So there will be some design improvements for the community budget forums. But in this time of so much change, not just in the city budgeting process, but so much change at all different levels throughout the community, the budget forums will offer a measure of predictability. So there will be changes to the format and possibly to the timing and to the number of them. But these modest changes reflect primarily the timing of the conversation we're having now and our new partnership with CBO. These are new roles and relationships for civic life as well as CBO. So changes to the format might include bringing back what Commissioner Fish called the skinny version of Budget 101. We've done this in the past. CBO has done this in the past. I believe last year was 1 year we did not. And we could also maintain, as Commissioner Fritz has requested, to maintain the direct opportunity, not to just talk to other community members, but direct to council members, because that is very important. But how we have those conversations might be organized around the what are we calling them now, direction or suggestions to develop, as well as randomly by lottery, so we can have more focused conversations if we have exercised restraint in the number of directions to develop. Then that could be reflected in the community engagement process on the forum side. We also know that we want to solicit less heard perspectives in different ways. We actually need to go out and solicit and get perspectives that will not come through the forums and that are not presented through the BACs. And so I'll speak to that a little bit later. We also want to remember that another end user are the Bureau Advisory Committees. And just as Commissioner Udaly just pointed out, small bureaus and large bureaus and revenue and general fund bureaus have different needs. We need to better understand the questions coming from bureaus and the Bureau Advisory Committees in order to help them with the implementation. So the next slide is about changes to come in a multi-year fashion. So asking our end users is not something we've done in quite a while. So, of course, we'll go back to communities, and we also will go back to Bureau Advisory Committees about what is most useful. Communities actually might want to weigh in on different things or have ways to understand different things. They might want to know not just what to cut or add, but why things cost as much or as little as they do, or if investing in X has led us to Y as promised in previous years, and or why some council priorities come with money and some do not. So we can't presume what they will want to know and need to participate, but we need to ask. And then we also need to acknowledge that these needs will need to be addressed maybe outside of the annual budgeting process. So I'm going to ask to go to the next slide. In the coming years, we actually need year-round and multi-level communications and opportunities for engagement. We need actually community engagement that educates and informs, as well as provides mechanisms for input and advice, as well as advocacy and lobbying. And they're really different. They're very different, and we need to actually bring back year-round communications or add about And actually help people really understand the bigger picture, we actually need to do a lot of myth busting. There's a lot of misinformation out there, and they come to play at Bureau Advisory Committees and at budget forums, and we actually need to, as was expressed in last week's session, people want to come back. I've heard council say we want to come back to the community and tell them what we achieve with the decisions that were made, especially reflecting community input.
So I have my favorite myths that need to be busted, but give us some examples of what you're talking about.
Well, let's see. There's so many good ones.
Let me throw one out that consumed a budget conversation we had a few years ago, which was the idea that all of our reserves could be tapped to invest in new services. Mm-hmm. And it was a very seductive argument, you know, that was brought to our community forums. Mm-hmm. And people then started thinking we had all this money that was just sitting around and weren't putting to good use. And, of course, we were talking about the reserves that we have that in turn earn us a AAA credit rating, and most of them are capital reserves, so they can't be tapped. But it was, frankly, a very difficult set of myths to unwind because it appeared to solve a problem at no cost. So that was an example for me of something that potentially hijacked a budget process and was not very helpful, and it was a myth that needed to be busted.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Do you have another myth?
Yeah, no. I think the idea that there are easy cuts lying around, I think, is one of the ones that I think we need to dispel. Efficiencies are difficult to generate. They may be worthwhile in the end, but they have operational costs in the short term in order to get there. And so, ultimately, when we're talking about reductions, we're not talking about finding the fat and getting rid of it. We're talking about diminishing levels of service, and we need to be clear with the public about what those impacts are, but also be clear about what the breadth of services that we still do provide and why we're selecting some lower level of service in order to fit within the existing revenue constraint.
And then some of these myths or misinformation are actually artifacts of our own practice. If we keep asking communities, what do you want, anything, and we have 100 ad packages, and then we actually cannot fund them, that actually creates another myth about what we actually can or cannot do as a city. So this changing the conversation and focusing on opportunities as well as strategic long-term investments actually will help change the context in which some of these things come up. The next slide actually speaks to methodological rigor. Thank you, Commissioner Fish, for stating last week that you would like to see more scientifically sound methods of engagement. So would we. There is for example, I'm just going to it says on the slide, you know, our come one, come all methods do not ensure equitable participation and outcomes. And you know this from your own experience, and you don't need a study to tell you, but I'm going to share one with you. So there's a new study just released in June of this year by political scientists associated with Boston University's initiatives on cities. And the study is titled Who Participates in Local Government? And their analysis was of participation in issues, in their case, of zoning and housing. And housing is a priority issue for this county Council in Massachusetts between 2015 and 17. So their study explored how institutions designed to encourage and empower neighborhood participation in local politics can distort the distribution of influence. And again, we know that we've all experienced this. And so, for example, it's not just who speaks at forums, but just the profiles of actually who participates and who shows up in the first place is different than that of the general public. They tend to be, in this study and in many studies, disproportionately male, more politically active, more affluent, and homeowners. The study also showed that the general support for certain issues does not always translate into public forums. So, for example, a community could have demonstrated broad support for, in this case, affordable housing, but at the public forums, the comments do not reflect that. And so the incentives to show up and the reality of who participates the most are often predictable. And we don't need to discount these incentives or these perspectives. We just need to acknowledge and understand them. And that's why it's imperative that if our goal is actually to gather a meaningful and statistically representative range of perspectives, then we actually have to pursue different methods. for ensuring that. So we can and we will change the format of the BACs and the budget forums because they are necessary, but they're not sufficient. So lastly, I think this is maybe my last slide. The next slide.
I want to interject here. This is a really important point for me because as we saw in the budget forums earlier this year, we had one community almost completely overtaking a forum plan for East Portland, and people were literally shut out of the room and couldn't come in to give testimony about issues pertinent to East Portland, which is it's an area of Portland that we are trying to better serve. And I love the idea of the distortion of the distribution of influence, because being able to turn out in huge numbers does not mean that your issue is the most vital issue before council. And we're not taking a popular vote on our budget. And I want us to take a lot of responsibility for that dynamic, because we just have not given the public the tools that they need, like you said, the balance sheet and to meaningfully participate. So that's a really big one for me. I do not want to sit through another budget forum like the ones we had earlier this year.
And the last slide is around those tools. Our annual budget presentation can be changed, and CBO is outstanding when they're asked to deliver a different type of presentation, a different way to to share information. They can. I think we just need to actually use community input process to help CBO and our city to actually create those tools together. Transparency does include putting hundreds of pages of our budget information on our website, but understanding requires a different type of presentation. So the community also needs a dashboard similar to all of the things that council has requested today. What is the ongoing list? What does that look like organizationally? What stages of development? They don't have to be the same, but the community also deserves those set of tools so they can engage in those long-term trade-off conversations with you that you so want. And lastly, we don't need to do it alone. We have a lot of great talent in the city, but there's a lot of great talent in our academic institution, our professional disciplines. We haven't consulted them in a while about how to improve our community engagement processes, especially for the budgeting. We also have a body, the Public Involvement Advisory Committee, that we have started the conversation with just last week after the work session about their role. An ongoing role. And again, I'll go back to the end users. We need to do a different type of consultation. We've heard some and much of what commissioners need, but we could use some methodological rigor to assessing what bureaus, BACs, communities, and council needs. Then the last slide, because I said they're worth repeating, I'm going to repeat them again. I'm just going to show the concepts worth repeating.
I have a couple of just comments. Take them for what they're worth, which is probably not a whole lot. Number one, who is the community? Number two, to what degree does and should our budget reflect the interests of the community? Question three, are we simply reflecting the desired budget priorities of the community, or are we also elected to exert leadership in certain areas that maybe aren't seen as broad community priorities? Number four, and this gets to the statistically significant issues. I've always wondered why we don't do more polling, just to find out what the public actually thinks. You know, ask them, what are their top three priorities for the city of Portland? When you think about living or working or playing in the city of Portland, what are the top three things you're expecting from your local government? Five. I would venture to guess that the vast majority of people never want to come to a public forum. And I had one person describe the environment at one of our public forums last year as hostile and unsafe. And if that's the case, then we are definitely not, and it was not Commissioner Udaly. Let's just be honest. If electeds are involved and you're having a town hall, it's going to be heated. That's just the environment in which we're in. And that's not necessarily a very good environment for people to come and share their thoughts about what their priorities are, particularly if they think their priorities might be divergent from the majority of people who happen to be participating in that forum at that moment in that location. So I think we have to be a lot smarter than this. Because if we want thoughtful input, that's one thing. But it's really easy to turn a forum into a flash mob. And that's a completely different thing. So these are just questions I'm thinking about.
Let me add on to that. There was a risk last year that the entire premise of our community budget forums was undermined by groups that came in rejecting the whole exercise and reframing our budget as a fight between austerity and new investments. And while I think people have a right to organize around those issues, I think the complication for us is that we're looking for guidance as if we're living within a constrained environment. And we have to do both. We have to give people the right to say, I reject your framework, new revenue and cover everything. But we also have to frame the conversation that's helpful to us around priorities. So that's a challenge. And some of the better organized and most vocal groups last year rejected the whole premise of our budget conversation. So the information we got wasn't all that helpful. I wholeheartedly agree with the mayor, we need to do some polling. One of the things you learn in this job is that there is this huge gap between the level of sophistication that we see in how campaigns are run here, both candidate campaigns and ballot measures, and then the way that we do survey work. And the auditor's annual survey was not a very rigorous exercise. It did show trends. It had the advantage of showing trends, so you could see if there was a drop-off or an increase. But you could pretty much set your clock around the fact that firefighters and parks got high marks, and there was some ambivalence about other things. And it was just, you know, as it was predictable and not very helpful. And then, as you know, in the recession, people's views about government declined a little bit because services got degraded. Over time, with the declining trust, you see numbers come down a little bit, but not as much as I would have expected. We're still over 50%, you know, of positive ratings, which is extraordinary in these times when Congress is in single digit. But it really wasn't very helpful. So I, Mayor, I would hope we'd go beyond having this conversation about polling and just carve out some money and have get to the work of doing a pretty sophisticated poll, scientific poll, that helps identify priorities. And maybe we can, as a group, come up with some of the... We don't want the council drafting collectively a poll. You know, there's that joke about a horse designed by a committee is a camel. I mean, we have to be careful that there's actually some strategic guidance and that we have an expert that is helping us figure this out. But I second your polling. The third request I have, Director, is I know, at least for me personally, and I'm sure for some of my colleagues, there are going to be some potential conflicts on dates for public hearings. So I would say the sooner we get notice of potential dates with flexibility, there are some dates I just can't sign on to. So I want that opportunity early on to say, those days don't work. Can we do it? Because I would like to be at every forum. But I think each of us is going to have some conflicts. And the sooner we get a proposed schedule, again, with some flexibility, recognizing that Mondays and Fridays are generally out, and that for some of us, there's particular constraints every 2 weeks we have to build in. I would appreciate that so that we can make sure we have a full council in attendance.
So I'm going to be the voice of dissent when it comes to polling. I personally didn't use polling in my campaign. It worked out fine for me. And, you know, just to continue to use myself as an example, there were polls that showed me, I don't know, coming in eighth in my group of candidates for my position. So if we were to use polling, I would want to be sure that we weren't just polling people who happen to be home and still have landlines, because that certainly represents a distortion of opinion in the community. I think I really struggle with the balance between representative and participatory democracy. I am a fan of participation, but we were elected by majority of the voters for a reason, and it's because they felt we would best represent their interests. And I think as elected representatives, we at least have to set the priorities and then allow community members to help us hash out the details. I know when we get public input, what I'm most concerned with is, are we reaching the most vulnerable and the most underserved communities? Because we've done a pretty good job serving people who are doing just fine. I don't know that, well, I do know that we haven't done a great job serving the most vulnerable. Are the priorities we've set really the most urgent matters the city is facing? Unintended consequences is something that comes up a lot, and I think it's vital to hear from community members about that, because as we are seeking to serve vulnerable and underrepresented communities or to create remedies for historic wrongs, we can have a tendency to overcompensate or continue to not consider all of the variables and fail to accomplish our goals. So that's what I'm most concerned about when we hear from the community. I think we have to be able to lead on a lot of this.
Can I just respond? Because I think I actually agree with you to the extent, I think candidate polling and issue polling are different. I've never polled in four primaries, and I've won four primaries with over 50% of the vote. So I've never invested one dime in a poll. And, you know, the poll that you relied on and I rely on is being out in the public, talking to people, putting together a platform, and then seeing how it sells. I mean, that's ultimately. But candidate campaigns turn on so many other variables, likability, the quality of the campaign, issues that resonate with the public at that particular historical moment. There's so many variables that kick in. I will contrast that with the housing bond campaign that's being done regionally. Some of the survey work that I've seen that really drills down into what do people think about affordable housing and what's important to them, and if they had an extra dollar to spend, where might they put it? Those kinds of things. I find those fascinating because I don't really have a clue where people are on that. And the science gets you really drills down into, you know, into communities however you want. So I agree with you. I'm more skeptical about the candidate polling. I agree with you that we have to be very clear about how we reach people, because I mean, the least reliable poll in the world is the one that, you know, we get in the Tribune on a regular basis, which is where they just call people with electronic messages and ask them to do something. It disproportionately skews older, whiter, and more wealthy. And by the way, when's the last time you ever answered a poll when someone had a recorded message like that? I mean, I do what most of us do, which is I hang up. And plus, you're not going to reach people like my daughter that are engaged voters unless you have her cell phone number. So conceding all of that, I think it's more valuable in issue areas because it gives us a sense of where the public is on stuff. And I think sometimes we hear the noisiest coalition, but we also aren't listening to the broadest voices in the community. And I think that's where issue polling is more valuable than candidate polling.
Yeah, I don't disagree. It's just they've really proven to be pretty unreliable, and I'm concerned with who we're reaching.
Yep.
They're great if we're reaching a truly diverse representative group.
Yeah, no. So I think that that all of those issues of representation, a distortion of voices, et cetera, are some of the issues that that my team has been working through as we develop the Community Insight Survey for this year. You know, this is restarting sort of what the auditor was doing for many years and trying to address some of the concerns that council has talked about here today and been talking about for several years. So Just hearing this conversation, it makes me realize the urgency that we get to your offices to really understand what are you looking for in this. Michelle Rubin in my office is running this project. We're looking to go out for an RFP for somebody who has the background in scientific survey work and has the expertise in addressing some of these concerns. So would really love to get additional feedback on some specific areas, specific questions that folks would like to be asked, and other areas. So
yeah, I remember we did put that in the budget, so I'm glad that we're going to do it.
And I will take this conversation as a directive to develop the ongoing component of that, because it is a one-time item in this year's budget.
I love doing it and answering them.
So, sorry.
Really, somebody's asking my opinion. Absolutely. Let me tell you. If we wait till the budget process to do this robust community engagement, we've waited too long. And so essentially we need to have representative bureau advisory committees in every bureau that really understand on an ongoing basis what does the bureau do, what are the needs, what are the opportunities, and who are we talking to, how are we structuring those, how are we getting public input at those. And again, I believe our process should be grassroots up and helping people engage with each other in the community so that we have a better understanding when we get to the budget process.
Can I just add one comment? The first question you asked, Mayor Wheeler, is who is the community? That is actually a very fundamental question, because there is data for that, but it's not entirely accurate. But who is the community now, and who is the community that we're becoming? Those are actually two different trajectories. They look really different. The community that we're becoming, you look at the classroom of a David Douglas School District elementary classroom, and that's the community we're becoming. It looks really different than the community we are today. And so you also asked about your role. Really, it's a leadership role of saying, where should we put our strategic focus, and where do we make those choices? And thank you, Commissioner Udaly, for saying, and I feel like it would be irresponsible for us as any civil servant to not make those choices with equity in mind, because we know our history and we know what it takes to. It takes nothing to uphold current trajectories. It takes everything to actually address them. So, and then my last comment about polling it'll be the right tool for the right person, for the right subset of folks, for the right issue. We can't over rely on polling as the methodology, as we cannot over rely on focus groups or anything else. So, as Commissioner Fritz said earlier, this does make your job harder. So, thank you for insisting that we do this, and thank you for your leadership in doing it. But you will begin to receive information in different formats and different channels all throughout the year, and it does make your job a little bit harder. But ultimately, long term, perhaps it makes it a little bit easier as well. So,
yeah, that's a really good point, Director Reed, that there's no magic tool here. It's some combination of tools, and then ultimately, I think it comes down to the council using their good judgment. I've had a very skewed 2 days. I often listen to what people say when they call my office, and I understand that elected's phone lines tend to be complaint-driven, but it's one good reference point on what's going on in the community and what people are particularly anxious about. But we've been flooded with calls in the last 2 weeks because I've apparently become a favorite target of Breitbart, and I'm sort of grateful for that. That tells me I'm probably on the right track. But we're getting lots and lots of calls from people who are very, very upset with regard to my alleged policies around public safety. They've got it, of course, completely wrong, but that's beside the point. But if I listened to those voices, I would be making bad decisions based on heavily biased information that they are receiving. And so I have to put that through the filter. And ultimately, this council will have to put a lot through the filter to be able to decide what the right question is. So when I was asking who is the community, maybe a better way to have asked that is, who are we listening to and why? And are there voices that we're not hearing? And are there ways that, as we think about what tools that we want to use to help us develop this process and ensure that we're hearing those voices? You know, how do we identify what those voices are, and how do we get that feedback? And for different people, different groups, different places, it might require different tools. So I appreciate your going through that. Tom, we're getting close to the hour.
We are. We're moving into next steps. And before Director Campuzano runs through a list, I just want to make a couple comments. One, there are lots of strong leaders behind us in the audience here and listening who are putting a lot of faith in us. And really, this is an exercise in trust, all the budget changes we are trying to do. We want to make sure you know that we are working very hard with people at all levels of the organization to understand it's a multi-year process. It's not going to be perfect. We're doing our best to give you the best options that we can give you in terms of the budget decisions. And particularly with this discussion on community engagement, we know we're going to make some changes this year, but we're going to have to keep making improvements over the next few years. In that spirit, we hope you will be direct with us here and in the following weeks about the results of these two work sessions. As we shape up the follow-up, we will follow up with your teams. We will follow up directly with you. We ask you to trust us that we will make incremental changes this year, but please just continue to be as frank as you have been. I think we're going to make a lot of progress. With that, I'll hand it over to Claudio.
Well, Tom, before you go, let me say that we're sort of making this up as we go along. And I kicked off the Parks Back process this morning. I've asked the Parks Bureau, the Parks Board, to be our back this year with some additional members folded in. And I said, this is a year of experimentation. We're gonna try to do something different, and we're going to make some mistakes, and we're going to learn together. But let's do our best to work within this framework. I will tell you, honestly, I did not find the Farver report very helpful or illuminating. But that's not what this is about, and I want to be very clear speaking for myself. The mayor has, and you have crafted with others, an alternative approach to the budget. And the council has said, we're going to buy into this because we hit a trough last year. We hit an all-time low, and it was a budget a season that was not helpful and was not productive, in my opinion. So this is a leap of faith into trying something differently. We're necessarily asking our Bureau Advisory, our Budget Advisory Committees to sort of work with us as we design this thing, because it's not set and it's going to evolve organically. But what I can tell you is that the people I'm talking to are excited about trying something different. They're excited about some of these changes. I'm excited just about some of the almost cosmetic things about having the commissioner in charge back with the bureau director presenting. I think the idea of having the commissioner's office sign off on ad packages will avoid the confusion we had last year about whether certain things were bureau-driven or commissioner-driven. There's a number of changes already, and frankly, I think our public involvement process was so poor in the last couple of years that, frankly, if we did any of the things that are proposed here, it's going to be an improvement. So I'm excited, but I also recognize we're not going to get it fully right this year. It's a work in progress, but I hope over the next few years we land on something that not only helps us craft a better budget, but gives the public a sense of confidence that they're being heard and engaged properly. So that's my litmus test.
Great. So just before I jump into next steps, I just wanted to say that I've heard leap of faith, work in progress. These are definitely descriptors of what we're doing here, and we really appreciate your engagement in this process. Ultimately, as I've said before, this is council's process. It is, and so we are really working to give you something that works better for you and for the city. And I just wanted to give my thanks to Tom and Director Rhea. It has been an absolute pleasure to be working on this project with them and to have such great thought leaders, particularly in community engagement, an area where we know that as green eye shade folks, it's not exactly our area of expertise. And so to have that thought leadership in that area, extremely, extremely valuable. So thank you to all of you. So just wanted to jump in with some next steps. I've got, there were a couple of items that for the list that we put out there to add to that list. Then we also are going to come back with some proposals on how to address directives to develop particularly or direction to develop particularly across bureau portfolios. We are going to try and put together a multi-year look on some of these big issues and some problem solving on how to bite some of those issues off a little bit more slowly over time and how that sort of can lay out. Let's see. We are definitely going to talk to your offices with regard to the community insight survey that we're working on to make sure that incorporates all of the areas that you as a council are looking for to hear from the public. And we will definitely work to get those forum dates on the calendar as soon as possible. Is there anything that I missed?
I was just wondering, when are you moving to PAX?
The big reveal.
I'm pretty sure that was something that's already been announced.
No, absolutely, it has been announced. I will be leaving my position very shortly and be taking.
So I just want to acknowledge. I want to thank you for your steering the ship in the interim after Director Scott left, and wish you all the best in PAX. Thank you for your work.
Great, thank you. It's been absolutely my privilege to lead the team, especially during this very difficult change, but I think really worthwhile change. So thank you.
I want to thank all of you for the presentation and just put a plug in as we're developing this new community engagement process that we eventually look at consistent community engagement across all of the bureaus and looking at whether we can bring that in-house and perhaps services provided by Civic Life, because I will say I periodically hear from constituents that feel that we've done a terrible job on community engagement when Civic Life has had nothing to do with it, but there's this assumption that because it's community engagement, it's coming from Civic Life. Mm-hmm. And I don't like being blamed for things that my bureau and my office are not responsible for, because there's plenty of things to blame us for that we are. Thank you.
Great. First of all, I want to thank you all for the presentation. There were some very good, provocative conversations. Tom, I would like it if CBO would, I guess I shouldn't tell it. Who's in charge? Claudio, for the next.
I'm in charge for another couple of days.
Good. So I'm going to tell you, I'm not sure if we're ready to make announcements yet in terms of your replacement, and so I won't until I'm prompted to do so. But I would like CBO to write a summary memo to the council just to keep these discussions moving forward and deepen our understanding of some of the trade-offs that we face throughout this process. And it sounds like you're already on that. Number two, Tom, I'd like the General Fund Bureau directors to work with you to develop a few scenarios. And again, we're talking broad-based scenarios based on some of the economic forecasts that we heard. And this is information, obviously, they will want to share with their commissioners. But I want to get the process going and start putting at least some broad brackets around the process as we begin our work on the proposed. Finally, I know that our Chief Financial Officer, Jennifer Cooperman, who's hiding over there by the novelty size clock, is working on revising some of our financial policies. And I'm interested in seeing options for ways that we could provide more consistency around dedicating one-time resources to truly one-time needs. And I know that's been an ongoing concern, and I know you're working on some policies, and I'd like to just continue to further that work in tandem with the work that we're doing here on the budget. Anything else for the good of the order? Without further ado, we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.